This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at UH1.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Shift Podcast. I'm just doing a quick intro for this episode while I'm in LA. So if you hear any noises, that's just outside LA. But this episode I actually recorded, I think like a week and a half ago with Gus Tate. I'm really excited for you guys to listen to this episode. He's such a fantastic guest. We did talk about his upcoming album, but because we had recorded the episode a week ago, it's actually out now. It came out on Thursday. So it's called Top Gus. Please go to iTunes and buy it. It's absolutely amazing. You guys will love it. And if you want to watch the special of it, the video, it's on YouTube. And then if you're on iTunes, just rate and review as well. That'd be so nice. He's just brilliant. We actually talked in this episode about being a dad. He talked about his experience with IVF because he had issues with sperm. He talked about his wife being the breadwinner. And then we just talked about comedy as well. So really, really brilliant guest and really nice to have a dad on talking about how much he loves his daughter. So, and what else? I'm currently in LA and then I go to San Diego on Thursday. So if you know any Irish in San Diego, please tell them to come out to the show. It's at Mic Drop. So the link will also be in the description. But then I go to Ireland on Saturday night. We fly. We don't get in until Sunday, but my Irish shows are Dublin and Cork. And Dublin is Thursday the 5th and Cork is the 6th of October. And Dublin is in Stitches Comedy and Cork is the Comedy Cavern. But again, it'll all be in that link tree there in the bottom. But yeah, please come out. Or if you know anybody in Cork or Dublin, please let them know. I'm working on a new hour. So I'd love to see, you know, what works back home as well. It's nice to go home and test all the material. And make sure to follow Gus. And if you want to sign up to the Patreon, I have solo episodes there. Again, it's pay what you want. Just ignore that number that comes up first away. You decide what you want to pay. And the video's up there as well. And that's really it. Then I'll be back in New York and then I'll be going upstate. But I'll let you guys know about that with future episodes. God, said M there about 17 times. But other than that, enjoy this episode and I'll talk to you soon. Okay, so thanks for doing the podcast.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Yeah,
this is very cool.
For all the listeners, this is Gus Tate. Oh my God, the thingy is in my face. Hold on, let me just move this down a bit. Yeah, that's probably better. I usually do it the other side, but I've been changing it to this side because I think it's, so usually I'd put chairs up here. It has like a really nice aesthetic in the back and I put a picture on the TV. But this is just more comfortable.
Yeah, so is this okay that it's going like that?
No, yours is perfect. Mine was like, I think literally in my face, whatever way. I'll do it like that. That's much better.
Sweet.
So for the listeners, this is Gus Tate.
Hello.
Thank you for being here. And you just released a special. What's it called?
It's called Top Gus.
Top Gus.
Like
love
Top
it.
Gun, but Gus.
Well, for the Gen Z, they might have to look up what.
Yeah, yeah.
No Gen Z is listening to this, by the way. But
oh, damn.
Well, maybe
those
after,
are my demo.
Yeah, maybe because the last guest was Gen Z. So maybe after her, I might get a little Gen Z pop.
Yeah, I think I'm like in between. I think I'm like elder millennial.
Yeah, I'm elder. My age on, you know, the way you can check on your social medias and stuff. And even for this listener, for this podcast, it's like 25 plus.
Oh, okay.
To like 40.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think on YouTube, I'm like 35 to 40 something.
Yeah, that's perfect. Well, yeah. They'll buy tickets for shows, so.
Nice. Do you have a lot of Irish listeners?
For the podcast, it's mainly Irish listeners.
Yeah, sweet. I love Ireland, by the way. I think it's really, it's great.
Imagine if I was like, no, and you were like, fuck Ireland.
yeah, always hated it.
Yeah, yeah. What do you love about Ireland?
Oh, just the green and stuff.
The green.
The color green. Yeah. No, I've never been there. It seems great, though.
It's a great country. I do love it. Just not enough to stay, but no.
Oh, yeah.
I do love it, though. It's, yeah, I just, if I weren't doing comedy in New York, I'd probably be in Ireland.
Yeah. What if I, like, invented an Irish heritage to talk about just for this podcast?
Yeah,
just
yeah.
to try to ingratiate myself with your...
You're like, I'm 2%
yeah.
Irish.
Yeah, love it.
I mean, they'd definitely not watch your special if you started that.
Yeah, probably.
Okay, wait, so your special's out. It's on your YouTube. What's your YouTube?
I think it's just youtube.com/@GusTate.
Perfect.
And just Google it.
It's doing well.
Yeah, it's doing pretty good. Yeah. I just watched a clip from Pete Bladel's podcast where I was like, he was like, I think it's going to hit 100K. And he was like, it's 70. And I was like, it's not. I was like convincing him for like a minute. I was like, it's not going to, it's never, because I can see the curve of it. It got a little second wind and now it's going to hit it next week.
That's unbelievable. And
Thanks.
You didn't have like a
no.
following on YouTube,
no.
right?
No, I had like 300 people.
That's has your following grown from it? Or?
Yeah, no, I have like 1,400.
Wow.
Yeah,
yeah
it's crazy.
Really good.
I don't know what I'm going to do with that because, you know, it's not like I make YouTube videos all the time. Just kidding,
yeah.
I do, and I will.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For anyone that's thinking about subscribing. Sorry, I'm talking to you, but I'm also talking to
No,
you.
No, it's good. It's good. I always forget to look at the camera, and then sometimes I do look at it. Like, I'm looking at it now, and it's like, ooh, hello.
Yeah.
No, that is amazing, especially, like, you know, that you actually got to put it on your own YouTube.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the time when we're filming these things, they'll go to other YouTubes. So it's amazing. Because a lot of time they want to put it on a YouTube that has, like, millions of followers.
Yeah.
And that's great, but... If it goes on yours and it blows up, that's the dream.
Yeah. I did not think it was going to do that. I thought, I mean, I knew it was a good special, but I didn't think that people would watch it right away.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted it to be out just as like proof that I can do an hour and that it's good. But I didn't think people were actually going to watch it. But it's mostly the YouTube algorithm that's powering this. Like I can see it's like 80% recommended by YouTube. So I don't think it matters that much who's
Why is thing it recommended by YouTube?
I don't know. I think it's like a function of a bunch of things, but I think mostly watch time. Like the average watch time is like 20 minutes on it, which is pretty good. Apparently it tells you that it's like better than average or whatever.
Yeah.
So that plus all the likes and comments and shares and whatever.
Yeah.
But I guess it's that. Maybe it has a good thumbnail too.
Yeah.
Shout out to JT Anderson for snapping that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's really cool. And your special, you talk a lot about being a dad, which I thought would be really fun for this podcast.
Sure. People love hearing parents talk.
Yeah.
At length.
Yeah, show us pictures of your kid.
Yeah, I will at a moment's notice. Oh, wait, I just missed a call. Speaking of...
Oh, no, yeah, check that.
Oh. See, yeah, my daughter's in school right now. They would call back. No, it's spam. Okay. That's the thing. Now when I get a phone call, it's either spam or my daughter's in trouble. So it's like
it's terrifying.
I have to pick up everything.
I can't even imagine what it's like to have a child because like I'll be out and I'll think... What if Prati, my cat, got his head stuck and he's now hanging and he's like, or got his cone stuck and he's now hanging himself and I'm going to come home to a cat that's by accidentally hung. That's the thoughts I have. I can't even imagine having a kid.
Yeah, it's the same. No cones, but yeah, similar.
Just constantly worried they're going to die.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had like dreams where she dies and they're like, yeah, it's as bad as you would think.
Jesus.
It's like having an exposed nerve.
Is
you
it
know?
Worth it, though? I don't know if it's worth the worry.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, sound like a guy with commitment issues. I don't want to date because I don't want to get hurt. I don't want a kid because I don't want to get hurt.
Right. I mean, yeah, if you don't want to get hurt, then don't have a kid, I guess. But I mean, you get a lot of other nice things from it as well.
What are the nice things?
It's funny, how like I feel like it used to be like... It was just assumed that everybody's going to have a kid.
Yeah.
So you didn't have to talk about the nice things as much. And then like now it's like... You know, there's sort of like a rebellion against traditional.
Yeah, you have to explain why.
Yeah, now it's like, no, it is. It's nice. I mean, okay. Yeah, you got a little person that looks like you, but they're beautiful.
Aww.
Right? So imagine everything that you don't like about yourself, but now it's perfect.
Aww.
You know? So it's like, look, you know how like when parents put a picture of their kid on their Facebook profile or something, and you're like, that's not fucking you. You know, it's like, it used to make me mad, and then now I realize like it is you.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't put it's still my face on my Instagram, but
it's a version of you.
Yeah, it's like a version of you that's like perfect, so that's cool. And then you get to experience all the stuff for the first time just like they do, you know, like while it happens, because you have this like what they feel you feel, which is of course bad sometimes, like when they fall, it hurts. Like I say in my act, it's like having a pair of balls that are just walking around bumping into shit. And it hurts. It's like a Bluetooth ball sack. You know what I mean?
You really do feel it, or you just...
Yeah,
just,
you really... I mean...
very empathetic.
Well, I mean, it's not... You don't literally feel it, but all of the emotional response of like, oh, shit, you know, because their emotions are your emotions, basically. When they're happy, you're happy.
That makes sense.
And when they're chucking a tantrum, you're chucking a tantrum.
Yeah.
You know? So, but the converse of that is like when they try ice cream for the first time, you see, it's like, oh, wow. It feels like you're tasting ice cream for the first time.
Wow. So, this is your good salesperson.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know where I heard this the first time, but you get, as a non-child having person, unless you've got like nieces and nephews or something, you don't really see the good part of having a kid a lot. Yeah. You see it when it's bad, like in public.
Yeah.
You know, when the kid's having a tantrum in the airport. Or somewhere, and you're like, ooh, glad that's not me.
And you know what the bad part of it is you actually see a parent on their worst behavior.
Mm.
So it's like, I think that's what it's, you're like, oh, I never want to be like that. You see like a parent just melting down with the kid or screaming loudly. The best parents I ever saw with a kid were like too young. People who had a kid, like they looked like they were 17.
Oh, wow.
And it was a flight from Ireland, so it was like a 7-8 hour flight, and the whole time the kid didn't make a noise because they were just playing with the baby the whole time.
Oh, that's cute.
But they have the energy.
Right, that's the thing.
I don't even have the energy to play with the cat. I'm about to spend $40 on a cat toy just so I can absolve myself. I'd be the type, here's your iPad.
Yeah, I know. We're on the iPad now. I used to be like, I'm never giving my kid an iPad until they're 16. Now she has an iPad all the time. It's just other things get in the way.
Yeah, yeah.
I've said this before, but like... I've said this before in my many writings. I've said this before. Sorry. Cut that part. No, don't. You don't have to. It's great when you can just completely focus on your own child. Mm-hmm. Then it's the best.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to do when they're a baby because they're like an attention magnet. And also you're on maternity leave or whatever, and you can really afford to just pay attention to your child. It's when you are trying to do something else and the child is the distraction. That's when it sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks a lot. Yeah. Like when you try to get some work done and not necessarily even something frivolous. Like it's not just like checking TikTok or whatever. Like sometimes you're doing stuff that is important for the child. Like you're making a doctor's appointment or something. And then she's like doing like that, daddy, you know, and you're just like, just give me a fucking second. That's when it sucks. Yeah. But if you can manage to just watch your child play, or, you know, play with them or just be fully there, it's the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess, yeah, you're never getting alone time again.
Yeah. That's that also, that's not great. I mean, yeah, that's why I like love being on the road now.
Yeah, I guess with comedy, we do have an escape.
Yeah. That's like it is very fun to do comedy and, you know, go to different places. But like just being in an airport by myself is amazing now.
Yeah.
When I hear people complaining about airports, it's like, were you traveling with a toddler? No? Okay, well then what are you complaining about?
Yeah. I like being in airports as well. I feel like I got a lot of work done.
Yeah.
Because it's like you scheduled nothing else to do time.
Mm-hmm.
You
have one goal, just get on the plane and everything else is... Also, you're like in... this like third space. I find it very like, I think of my best stuff when I'm in one of those places, like an airport. It's like familiar, but it's not, you know?
Yeah, you just get a coffee, sit down, you got 2 hours before the flight because I'm always way too early. Mm-hmm. And then on the plane, most of them don't have, even if they do have Wi-Fi, it's not like I'm not going to be on TikTok.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I usually get a lot of thinking time or...
Yeah.
Or even just watching a movie where there's no distractions. The cat's not yelling at me for food.
Yeah,
he does that a lot. They're boys, but they look like girls. No, they've got very feminine energy.
I misgendered your cat.
I know. Well, you know, they have boy bits.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we don't know what they
I know.
Under that cone.
I think maybe animals don't really care.
Yeah.
They're like, you can call me she, he, whatever.
That's
funny. Don't give a shit.
I realized that I love like mid-range hotels now.
Oh,
you know what I mean? Like not a fancy hotel, but like... like a Holiday Inn Express.
Yeah.
Like when I go do comedy somewhere, I'm like, is there a Holiday Inn Express? Like just, this is an ad for Holiday Inn Express.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? It's like just as clean as it needs to be, but no cleaner. And it's like very anonymous.
No distractions.
No distractions.
Just sit on the bed.
Yeah, they have a desk. I just put my computer
yeah.
there. Just being a person. It's really nice to be a person again.
Yeah.
But then, you know.
This is really sad.
Yeah. No, it,
you're like,
it is a little
it's
bit.
It's so great to have a kid, but it's really nice when I go to a mediocre
yeah,
hotel.
Yeah.
And I, have yeah. a desk.
I sound insane.
But I actually get that as just a regular person because I find it hard to do work in the apartment. A, my apartment's really cozy, which you can see.
Yeah.
It's very, very like, I've styled it, by the way. It's my baby.
It's very nice.
But I do find with the cats and Leland, it's hard to get work done. Whereas when I am on the road and I'm in a hotel, I'll get most of my writing done. Or I had to like mind my friend's cats. So I just brought my laptop one of the days and I like finished a pilot there because I had zero distractions. And his cats were just staring at me. They weren't trying. They were like, we don't know what this weirdo is.
Yeah, cats don't need attention.
Oh, these guys though. So these guys are different. Prati, which I do love. But like if I have my laptop out or I'm doing anything, he crawls all the way up on my chest.
No.
And then I'm typing like over him like because I can't use my full hands. But I love it at the same time. It's really nice to be loved. So
cute.
I guess that's probably like a 1% of how you feel when your kid's distracting you.
Yeah. I mean, 1%. Your cat can be distracting and you can still kind of get it done. But
I shouldn't even say 0.1%.
Yeah. Sorry, no, I'm not trying to.
No. You can't. I mean, it's terrible that I'm comparing my cat to a child.
Sometimes it's harder. Like, well, maybe not for cats, but for dogs. Like, I understand complaining about having a dog because dogs like have to go outside to go to the bathroom. Yeah. Not even a child has to go outside to go to the bathroom.
Well, you know, we have the other cat Madra, and that's Irish for dog, and he's really living up to his name. Speak because
that's funny.
He was from the streets, so he likes to be outside, and we can't bring him outside. But I have to bring him a walk in the halls, and if I don't, he's like pissed off.
Whoa.
He's meowing at the door. He's like in a mood, and it's insane because when I do have the time to bring him, and we have to be very careful because our neighbor downstairs is a fucking madness. But she's a lot. So she can't be any time that she can see because she's threatened to like report Leland for stuff like making side note, this man has like, even when I came in and he was having boys night last night, boys night ends at 10 p.m. he does it once a night and they play Catan. They're not partiers.
Yeah.
But every time he has, and it's three boys, they're all geeks. Uh-huh. And every time she'll text complaining about the noise, and he's put down carpets and everything. But it's just like, it's literally just people
playing
walking
Catan.
Through. But they're not even from playing Catan. It's just the walking through. She'll text when they're walking through. And his friend left and she came up to him and was like, how many people are living there? Do you live there? And like she threatened like get him kicked out and stuff like that, which is insane. But then we'll be like, I need your help. Like, to complain about something else in the building. But anyway, she was texting him and being like, do you have a dog or something? Because she could obviously hear the cat, which is, I don't know how she hears the cats.
Yeah.
Like she literally is obviously up on a ladder and then like listening to the ceiling with a piece of glass, something. But anyway, yeah. But my point, all of that was to say, I got a cat so I wouldn't have to walk. And I have to walk this bloody cat.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Dog is a funny name for a cat.
Yeah. And he does. Yeah. He barks. Because he doesn't meow. He goes, meh. And then he'll go, mah, mah, just in my face until I do. Or to wake me up in the morning, he'll like go under the covers with one nail, just one, not all of them, and scratch my leg.
Oof, yeah. I hate the foot scratching in bed.
Oh, yeah, because you have a cat as well. You have a cat and a kid.
Yeah, I know.
Is your cat pretty chill?
Pretty chill.
What was it like when the kid came with the cat?
No, we got the kid first.
Oh, what was it like getting a cat with a kid?
I was not happy about it, to be honest. I was anti-cat.
Okay.
It was very cute. Steve is his name.
Steve.
Yeah, which is Irish for Steve.
Yeah. For a second I was like, what? I didn't know this.
No.
I love when animals have human names.
Yeah, that's why. My wife really wanted to name a cat Wayne. She thinks
Wayne
that'd be really
great.
Funny. Yeah, cat name. But which I don't know why we didn't go with Wayne. We wanted like an office-y name.
Yeah, I like Steve.
Yeah, some like normal human name where if they do something, you're like, fucking Steve.
Steve, yeah. Steve is like that guy at the office who's not excelling, but he's not doing bad enough to be fired. But he's just kind of like, ugh, Steve didn't do the filing.
Yep,
Steve
exactly.
didn't send the email.
If it was a girl, we would have called her Susan.
Oh, Susan. Same.
Yeah.
Susan's kind of annoying though.
Susan's Susan would have been more annoying.
Yeah.
But I was like, no. And then, but then we like visited somebody that had a little kitten and Pearl was so cute with the kitten that I was like, All right.
Oh, your daughter's name is Pearl. I forgot.
It's oh, a yeah. Name. Sorry, I was censoring. No, you don't have to censor. People know her name is Pearl.
Because it's in your special.
It's in my... Is it in my special? I don't think so. Oh, I'd thank her at the end. Yeah. It's fine. I'm not famous enough where people are going to stalk my children, I think. Yeah. But I do sometimes find myself being like, don't say her name.
Yeah, I know.
It's Pearl.
Beautiful name, though.
Thanks. Yeah. But so she was really cute with the cat. And I was like, God, shit.
And she loves the cat now?
Yes. But it's funny. She didn't really at first. It was like not quite the cat she wanted. Because we went to the pet store and she really liked one. And we were like, no, it's too crazy. And then she like cried when we brought Steve home. And she was like, I wanted the gray one. And we were like, God damn it. It's fine now. I mean, she likes Steve. But he's not that affectionate. He like kind of keeps to himself. And then like wants like the worst kind of attention. Like he wants to like play and bite you and stuff. Yeah. And he's very pretty though. Let me show you a picture.
That's how it was the same with Madra. Madra's not very affectionate. And I wanted an affectionate cat. And then gray cats are actually very affectionate. It's a specific type. It's Russian Blue is our other cat.
Oh, yeah.
And he'll literally be like up on my neck. Trying to like, it's like it's like when you see those like couples that are loved up and they're like, I just want to be inside you. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh wait, that sounds like sex. Well, not sex, but I mean like where they're just like all sitting on. That's exactly what this cat is like. He just cat. Oh yeah, that's a beautiful cat. Oh my god, no, he looks like he has an attitude though.
He does. Yeah.
He doesn't look like a Steve. He looks like a
Robert.
Like an Ernie.
An Ernie. That's funny. There he is trying to get in my business.
Oh, he's very cute.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. I mean, he's much better now that he's not a little kitten.
Yeah. So how old is your daughter?
4.
And did you guys decide to have a kid?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
we
my God.
We had to because I shoot blanks. So we had to do IVF.
You did IVF?
Yeah.
Do
it was
you know?
Very deliberate.
Oh, yeah, this was, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you really chose this.
Yeah.
Do you know why you shoot blanks? What did they tell you?
No, it's a genetic condition. It's related to cystic fibrosis, but I don't have cystic fibrosis. Mm-hmm. I just have the gene. So we had to get tested for that to make sure she wouldn't have it. But apparently one of the symptoms of being a carrier for this gene is not having a vas deferens, which is the tube that connects your balls to your dick, basically.
Oh.
You know when people get their tubes tied?
Yeah.
They get a vasectomy.
Oh.
I have no vas.
So you're already basically tied?
I'm already tied.
Sorry, this is really gross.
No,
do you ejaculate?
Yep. I sure do. But there's nothing in it.
Oh, there's no sperm inside?
There's no sperm inside.
Wow.
It's clear. But it's very, I talk about this in the special, but it's great when you're trying not to have a kid.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty sweet. You don't protect yourself. I mean, you have to protect yourself against diseases and stuff.
Well, yeah.
But when you're with your...
Like a long-term relationship.
Yeah, yeah, then you don't, and it's pretty great. But then, of course, when you want to have a kid, you gotta get in there. So I have sperm, but they're trapped in my balls. They're still trapped in there.
Oh,
and they don't even know that they're never getting out.
Wow.
You know, because we already extracted them.
Yeah.
Also funny is that I was awake for the whole thing, the extraction. I thought it was going to be like a syringe. I know you didn't ask any of these.
No, but I'm loving
questions.
It. This is great.
I always knew, because I knew about this for a while, that I would have to get sperm like airlifted out of my balls. But I always thought that they're like liquid in there.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought like your balls are just like a basketball, like full of cum.
So did I.
It's not. It's like a brain in there. It's like a membrane. And so what they have to do is take a chunk of tissue out of your balls.
Oh, my God.
And... they use that and they get millions in just a little tiny
thing. Tissue.
Yeah.
That's madness.
I know.
So men, that's why men, I find like there's like this thing like I call Leland like man logic. Like it doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
And now it makes sense because your brain is in your balls.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, basically.
I have to start writing because he did something again last night and I was like, I can't even remember what it was, but I was like, I'm going to start writing these things down because... It makes no sense. I wish I remembered what it was last night. There's no like forward thinking. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are very in the moment, but then it makes your path longer, if that makes sense.
Oh.
Like I'll be like, no, if you do this, it's way quicker. Whatever that I'm gonna, you know what? I'm gonna start writing it down, and I'm gonna come to the podcast every week with another example of man logic.
Man brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ball brain.
Yeah. That's mad. Okay, so and then so for your version of IVF though, they probably didn't have to do anything much to your wife, was it?
Well, that's the thing, is I thought that they wouldn't.
Yeah.
But they did all the stuff anyway. They made her take all the pills and the injections and stuff. Yeah.
No, I don't know. I feel like America's a bit of a scam.
Yeah.
Because
I was, yeah.
You could just take it out in turkey baster, no?
That's what I thought. I didn't say that exactly, but I was like, are you sure you have to do all this to, because I was like, she's fertile.
Yeah.
Like she's ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, like she was in her late 30s when this happened. And I was like, you could just plop it in there.
Yeah.
It would be fine. Yeah. But I think because like
it's the brain.
No, because it's like such a big to do. I mean, you're spending a lot of money to make this happen. They're like, let's just do all the standard stuff, increase the probability as much as possible.
Just be perfect.
Yeah. So they made her. We did all the injections, and they extracted her. Oh, that's the thing. They had to extract her eggs too. So the actual thing happened in a dish.
I know. I feel like this is illegal. It should be like a tier, like in Patreons. So you only need, because it's only with you, then it should be cheaper. And then if you're both infertile or you're both having, then it's more expensive. But because this is I don't trust this.
I agree.
But you have a beautiful daughter. So
oh, thanks.
I guess it worked out.
That's the other thing, is that because like they naturally have to, like let the embryo grow a little bit and then some of them die, you know?
Jeez.
So like basically my daughter's like the strong one that like survived they're not like running these things through a gauntlet or anything. They're just letting them live for a few days in a dish. But basically we got three viable embryos.
Where are the other two?
In a freezer.
This is madness.
Yeah.
That's mad to think that when they do hatch, I can't think of a better word, that really they'll have been like 20 years old. No, that's way too long. But let's say 5 years old.
They'll be older than they were.
They're 5 years older than what they are. It's sort of a weird thing.
It's very weird. I mean, we still don't know if we're going to have another one, but it is weird to know that they're like, they already exist and they're boys.
Oh.
We know they're boys. So it is weird to know like...
Oh, you should have a boy.
Yeah, it would be nice to have one of each.
I shouldn't say should, but you...
No.
You'd just be nice. Yeah. That's what's kind of cool about IVF, that you can kind of...
Yeah.
And you are guaranteed... healthiest, which I know some people are against because of religion and stuff like that. I know. I just feel like, but I know me personally, I would want the healthiest baby. But
yeah. It's not necessarily the healthiest baby. I mean, I think it is correlated, but they like rate them. They were like, okay, this one's like a double A and this one's like an A minus or something. And I was like, does that mean that they're healthy? And they were like, no, they could all be very healthy. But it's like the size and shape of the embryo itself.
Yeah.
And our daughter was the, she was the highest.
The A plus.
So we were like, stick that one in.
It just means guaranteed more that there won't be like problems for the baby when they come out. Because it's hard. If you're going to pick, you just want to like not have the stress, I guess.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Yeah.
And genetic testing is part of the deal. So you sort of...
So they can check if there's any... Because you wanted to check... What did you say it was again? What was it?
Oh, cystic fibrosis, yeah.
So you needed to check to make sure that wouldn't be... Mm-hmm. How did you know you had this cystic... I can't even say that.
Yeah, so I had... what was it? I think I got kicked in the balls playing soccer in high school. And I was like really worried that there was like damage or something. And my dad, who is a doctor, brought me in to the hospital. And I, jizzed in a cup. And they checked it out. Not my dad... his friend.
Yeah.
It wasn't my dad checking my own jizz.
Yeah.
Not that would, he could do it. He's a professional. Anyway.
There was a bit of a spiral there.
Sorry. It is funny how involved my dad was in this, you know, because like he was like outside
he's a
while
doctor,
I was.
Though.
Yeah, he's a doctor.
And he's your dad. Your dad would be outside. By the way, no other 12-year-old boy who gets hit in the balls would be like, is my sperm going to work?
Yeah.
This is so funny.
Yeah. I was like really worried at the time. But anyway, it came back with zero sperm, which he was like, this would not be a result of you getting kicked. This is like something that's going on with your tube. And he sent me to a specialist and then they confirmed congenital bilateral absence of the vas deferens.
But wait, what about the cystic fibrosis? That's a gene. So your family didn't even know that was a gene you guys had until you did this?
Yeah, correct.
That's mad.
Yeah, it means my dad had it too the whole time.
And he's lucky that... Because especially when you were born, there probably wouldn't have been IVF. I feel like IVF is pretty new.
Yeah, I can't remember. I'm not sure, but yeah. I don't think they tested for that. Yeah.
Yeah, he's lucky. You're yeah. lucky you exist.
Yeah, yeah. Every time, this is silly, but sometimes I feel like I have cystic fibrosis light. You know, like any time that I have like a lot of like mucus or something, I'm like, is that?
Yeah.
Is that because of the gene? And I've had people be like, you're stupid.
What is cystic fibrosis again?
I think it's basically like you produce way too much mucus and you sort of drown in it.
Oh my God, that's horrific.
It's been a while since I've checked. This could be completely wrong. But
Yeah, but it's like something you have your whole life. I don't think it comes out now.
I don't think there's a cure for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't have cystic.
And your daughter doesn't?
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's all good. She has like this weird thing where she can't rotate her arm all mm-hmm. the way. Like her bones are fused together right here. And we only found that out because I was trying to...
Oh my God, sorry. My stomach is making like serious okay. noises.
The mic get that?
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead. So wait, her... Yeah, yeah. I mean, my stomach's like, bones? I like this. So her bone... What happened?
Her radius and her ulna are fused... And she can't, like, I was trying to teach her how to juggle, and she was like, I was like, just move it. I was like, I thought she was fighting me, but it turns out that, yeah, she can't.
Okay, what is going on with my
Have you? When was the last time you ate?
I ate a sandwich before you came. Huh. I mean, it was just, like, fake cheese and bread. Maybe that's why.
What if you edit it together so it's, like, mostly just your stomach?
Yeah.
Welcome, Gus, to the podcast.
I feel bad because you're telling a really interesting story.
It's not that interesting.
No, it is. But what's she going to do now? Hold on. I thought she's A+.
I know.
I'm just saying what the listeners are thinking. She's A+ and her arms are fused.
Yeah, that's what my wife said too. She was like, but we did IVF.
Yeah. So yeah, I'd be like, sorry, can I get a refund? I'd be such a refund on this,
yeah.
by the way.
Yeah.
So wait, what happens now with her arms?
She's fine. She just... the doctor was like, maybe don't get her into gymnastics.
Oh, so it's just something she'll have for her whole life.
Yeah. There are surgeries where they like reconnect it, but I'm not going to put my 4-year-old daughter in a surgery, you know, just to, it doesn't impede her life. She's not, I mean, she can't be a juggler, I guess.
Yeah. Ah, the dream. Okay. Wait, how many, do you have brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have 2 younger sisters.
So, Jesus, this is wild. And did they haven't got the gene? They have the gene, but it's probably dormant.
I don't know if they've been tested. Maybe they have the gene.
It's mad because when you were saying about now, you're always afraid, like with the mucus stuff. The last 3 annuals I got, like my white blood cells were low. But I was told that as a kid too. I don't know what it is with my white blood cells. They just... They don't be partying. But when I looked through, I still need to get the phone call, but I got my lab results anyway. Because you know the way, like here in the States, I don't think they do this in Ireland. Or you wouldn't get your results until you go to your doctor. But in the States, they send your results to a different company and you pay the bill to that company.
Yeah, so LabCorp.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mine's bio something. And so they sent me the results. So now I know all these results without even talking to the doctor, which is terrifying. Because each test they did, there was something wrong with me. And then I Google it. And every time you Google it, it's like cancer, which I'm sure it's not. But one of them said, with one of the things, it said, if this is high or low, it could indicate Wilson's disease, which... Well, the thing is, I just watched... Fleischman is in trouble.
Oh yeah.
And in it, the girl had dormant Wilson's disease, and she had been prescribed antidepressants.
Oh, and the liver person.
Yeah, and she took the antidepressants with alcohol, and those antidepressants, those very specific brand with alcohol, can bring out Wilson's disease, and she died.
Oh yeah.
But I had just watched that episode, and then like, and I'm sure it's probably just like the other words, where it's like it could be cancer. I'm sure it's not, and I'll talk to my doctor and it'll be fine. But I was like, well, I'm never taking antidepressants.
Is there a way to test for that, for Wilson's?
I don't know. I think I'll just talk to my doctor when they call. I'm sure it's nothing. It's just one of the blood things that I Googled, and it was like, if it was low, it also said like 4 other things, but I just saw the Wilson's, and I was like, I just found out what this was. It feels like a weird universal. Yeah. Where you're like, am I real?
Yeah. Good show.
It's a really good
show. Shout out to Ashley Austin Morris.
I know. She's in everything. She's going to do the podcast soon. Like,
oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. She's great. She's in every show I watch.
Wait, what else is she in?
She was in the one Poker Face.
Oh.
She was in the one where the girl has a German accent, but she doesn't have a German accent.
Oh, the Anna Delvey story.
Anna. Yeah. There was one other one she was in recently as well. I don't know, but there's a fourth one and I can't think of it.
Nice.
Yeah. So I wonder, maybe my stomach's making noises because I had a chicken pot pie last night. Which would have dairy in it.
And I'm not gonna eat dairy. You're not a dairy person?
So that's probably it, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But sorry. It was really good.
Yeah, chicken pot pie is good. Is that an Irish thing?
It might be. Oh, yeah. I think so. We eat it in Ireland. I just don't know if that... I feel like Britain would say it's British, but I think we had the same ingredients, so it's also Irish. It could have equally been both. There's a lot of dishes that are the same in England that are the same in Ireland, but we'd have the same ingredient. We're coming from the same environment.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Isn't Ireland like a dairy country?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Big like dairy.
The butter.
Big
Irish.
Big cows.
Yeah, big cows.
Yeah, big green.
Damn, that sucks. Yeah. I love dairy.
Oh, Ireland's fine. I can eat dairy in Ireland.
Oh.
It's not as bad. Huh. I try to avoid it as much when I go home. I only got issues with dairy when I moved to this country. Because your dairy's bad.
Oh, sorry about that.
I mean, it's different if you're eating it like locally. The cow is down the road. The milk goes bad in 3 days.
Oh.
It's all like fresher. So, yeah, because I eat goat's cheese here and I'm fine with that. But I do think it's something to do with, I think it's the milk specifically.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fucking American cows.
Yeah, no, because they've got hormones and everything. Yeah, it's funny. We talked about this on the last episode too, because the girl who was on in the last episode, her dad has a dairy farm. So she was on promoting her Irish cream liqueur.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's so funny that we even went to this way when the last episode, the episode that's coming out next is literally about that.
Oh, wow. Cool.
What else I want to ask you about being a dad? Like financially though in America, I'm just like, I don't know, it seems like that's the thing I hear, but you know, I don't actually hear from parents. I hear from people who don't have kids who are like, never have a kid, it's gonna ruin you financially. Is it like
oh,
that?
Yeah, it could easily do that. But that's not a reason not to have a kid.
I mean, that's a good reason.
Well, yeah,
money is terrifying.
Yeah, it is, I guess. Well, I'm lucky that I don't super have that problem because my wife makes more money than me. She's the breadwinner. So yeah. It would be bad if I stopped making any money.
Yeah.
But we would still survive, you know? And so we didn't have to worry about that too much. I mean, for a while we were like, we shouldn't have a kid until we're both financially stable. And we put it off for a while. And then like, we realized if we keep putting it off until I'm financially stable, we could be waiting forever.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
I love that.
So we just did it.
Yeah. And so how do you feel? No, firstly, what does your wife do?
She's a headhunter. She does executive search for financial institutions.
Oh, yeah. That's really cool.
It's good. She gets like commissions from deals and stuff. But it is kind of weird because she gets like a lot of her income at the end of the year, like as a bonus. So it's like hard to predict, you know?
Yeah.
But it's good enough that we can live in New York and have a child.
Sorry.
Upper West Side, like 91st Street. But I'll give you the exact address so that the stalkers can find me. What was I going to say? People think having a baby is a lot of money, but it's having a toddler. That's a lot of money. And then beyond. Like having a baby, anyone can have a baby because they drink, you know, tit milk, like, which is doesn't cost anything. Yeah. And people give you stuff, you know, like, especially if you're the first person in your family to have a baby ever. Like nobody's ever had a baby. No. I mean, that would be crazy. But the like my sisters.
Yeah, the hand-me-downs.
Yeah, yeah. And people will give you stuff, you know. Like, and your parents will be so happy that you're having a baby. They'll just, you know, it's like having a wedding registry.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's fine. You can have a baby for almost no money.
Yeah.
And the hospital bill isn't even that much. I mean, IVF is expensive, but the actual having it.
Oh, I thought having it was like 50K, but I guess maybe if you have insurance.
Unless you do. If you do C-section, then they tack on a bunch for that. Bless you. But yeah, it just very slowly the expenses start to creep and they start to eat real food and then they start needing more clothes and then like, and childcare is very expensive.
Yeah.
But
when you're doing comedy, probably you can do a lot of the childcare.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it kind of works out with your wife being the breadwinner, but with you doing comedy, you're kind of available.
Yeah, yeah.
The day and
I do have a day job. But I stopped doing it for 2 years when she was born. I basically took an unpaid paternity leave for 2 years and I was the stay-at-home dad.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
What's your day job now?
I write ad copy for a software company.
Oh, that's great. So you're still doing like comedy stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do both.
No, so, what I mean, the day job is comedy?
Oh, no.
Oh, sorry. I just presumed when you said you write, I was like, oh, it must be funny.
No, it's not funny.
Oh, I see.
Well, sometimes it's funny. It's for like, you know, like when they do podcast ads?
Yeah.
Do you read ads for this podcast?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Ah. No, I've done it like once, but other than that, they put the ads on. But I've read ads for that when it's been like, well, and that specifically wanted me to do like a unique ad, but I haven't in a while.
Oh, okay. I write the stuff that they say. Like a little 60-second thing for like a joke.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Well, how do you feel with your wife being the breadwinner?
Oh, you mean do I feel emasculated?
Yeah. And if it helps, I have more money than Leland, and he does not care. He wants to be a stay-at-home dad.
Oh, that's funny. I mean, it's a good gig if
while
you can
doing
get
comedy.
It. Right, of course. Yeah, I mean, I wish I could say that I'm, you know, a 21st century man and it's all fine, but yeah, I do wish I was making more money, and I think she wishes that also. I think she would prefer if I did make actually more money than I do.
Yeah.
But I mean, no complaints about being a stay-at-home dad, though. If you can really just be a stay-at-home dad and not have to do any other jobs, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's good. What was I feel like I was going to say something there.
About being emasculated?
Yeah. No. Oh, about like her, like like my wife she's good at her job and she likes doing it. But I can also tell that she would like to be more maternally available, you know?
Oh.
And sometimes I feel bad that she's like not able to do that because she works so much. Like I'm friends with all the other parents at Pearl School.
Yeah.
You know? Like I'm the contact for all of that, you know? And like she's sort of like sometimes I'll be like, oh, so and so's mom said the funniest thing the other day, you know, and she's like, oh, who's that again? You know?
Yeah.
So sometimes I'm like, ah, that sucks. But it's fine.
It's hard, I think, too, as well for women, because there is that maternal like pull, and no matter what, like I feel sometimes like the kid might just naturally biologically run to the mother, you know. So then we're living in a world where we can have our career, and I want that, I want my career, but I think more than men, maybe when they're the career and then they just come home, they're like, oh, having the crack, having the fun again, because maybe that's back to man logic, because you're more in the moment. So you're just able to enjoy it. Whereas I think with women, we have this feeling of guilt all the time, like, I'm not doing enough for the kid. Or whereas I can't imagine if the roles were reversed and you were like the one who was working more, maybe would you feel like maybe you'd be like, I don't care that I don't know the mothers.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't care at all.
Yeah, I find that as well. And as a side note, men are lucky in that way in general, that you have a less of the caring, you know, like as in like I care about things that Leland's like, who cares?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just,
right.
Yeah.
I think I wouldn't care, but what was I gonna say? Oh, for a while it was like the opposite, like she was getting the worst of both worlds. Like it wasn't that she would come home and then like she would run, like my daughter would run to her, you know, like, oh, you're home. It was like as soon as Sarah would get home, it would be like, oh, time to eat dinner, and now we have to stop playing. So like she was a daddy's girl for like a long time.
Oh.
And so Sarah was getting like nothing.
Oh,
you know?
That's hard. Yeah,
yeah. Now it's flipped. Now she's a mama's girl.
Yeah.
And now like she's like, okay, dad. Like she wants to be read to by my wife, and she wants to be you know, like snuggled. She wants to be played with by her. I'm not totally out of the loop, but it's just, it actually feels good that now I don't feel as guilty that I'm like taking all the maternal time, you know?
Yeah, that's hard too, because I even find like with us, with the cat, you know, one of them like gives me all the attention, and the other one, if he gives any attention, it's to me. But, you know, sometimes Leland would be like, oh, I want the cat to give me attention. Mm-hmm. So do you guys ever feel like a jealousy between the two, like of who's getting more from the kid? Like, has this brought an element into your relationship now with like, who does my child love more?
Yeah. Nah, not really. I mean, a little bit. Yeah. Like sometimes we'll just be like, oh, okay. Looks like she likes she wants daddy to read her this book. But no, not really.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
Do you find it hard to have your own relationship time?
Yes.
Have you guys made that like a point to like still focus on it, or?
So well, recently we went to Kentucky for just to see my family, And finally, we had like one day where we just went off and we went to like a nearby town and we just like had a night on the town and we had sex.
Oh, look at you guys.
Pretty sweet. No, sorry, we have sex. But I just mean we had like an entire night to just be, it, like not just like a date night where it's like, oh, gotta get home before the babysitter leaves. Like just us. And it was crazy how not weird it was. Like Pearl was like, yeah, get the fuck out of here. Like, I don't, we thought she was going to be like, where's mommy and daddy? She didn't care at all.
That's great that she's independent.
Yeah. Well, she was with my mom and like my sisters and like, so she was in heaven.
Yeah. She was like, I don't even want them to talk to you. I want all the attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is, it's a little hard. That part definitely like suffers.
Yeah.
You know, but partly just because we're like exhausted all the time. Like, my wife will go to bed really early, sometimes before my daughter goes to sleep. And then she wakes up really early, and there'll be, like, weeks where I, like, barely talk to her, you know? Yeah. But, like, I mean, we're fine. Like, that I said this recently, but, like, I basically do four things. I'm a comic, I'm a dad, I have a day job, and then I'm a husband. Yeah. And the husband one, I'm always like, that's fine. I don't need to worry about it. Like, we're good, so I won't pay. I'll do the bare minimum.
Yeah.
But yeah, something's got to give, you know. Yeah. You can't do all those things. But it's—I mean, it's better now. And her job is really busy too.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you want to be like, if you want to have an amazing relationship with your significant other, then yes, don't have a child. It will it will mess with that a little bit.
It's hard because I know, like, from what I've heard from people who have kids who are like the past generation who have a bunch of kids where it wasn't really the option. No one really thought we won't have kids.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I have like an aunt who didn't have kids and is married and travels the world and stuff. Or my boyfriend's uncles, they don't have kids and they travel a lot together and they, you know. And so I guess it's hard because you kind of either have this child and or you have a partnership where you travel because you have the money.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, what do you want out of your life? Do you want like something that's going to love you unconditionally and get to see them grow?
Oh, or, children don't love you unconditionally.
Oh, something that
you love
love
them
you
unconditionally.
Yeah.
Do you want to have your
money and travel and.
Yeah. I mean, you after they go to college, you can do some of that. But yeah, it's...
You're older, though.
Yeah.
You're tired.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm not the best person to ask because my daughter's only four. But it does make your relationship stronger in some ways.
Yeah, because now you're like a team.
Yeah. And the fact that both of you are like putting aside huge parts of yourself to focus on one thing in a way makes it stronger. You sort of lose a lot of your like little selfish, like I feel like I used to have things that were like, you know, like just like petty gripes, you know, that like are now so unimportant.
Yeah.
So that's good. But the time is what you lose. You just like time together where you don't. Like we'll go on date nights and I'll be like, what do we talk about?
Yeah.
Like what do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do again? What's your deal?
Yeah.
I was like, what did we talk about before our daughter was born? I have no idea.
Yeah.
But
you also, because you don't have other things to talk about, like, so I'm presuming you don't have a lot of time with friends. You don't have a lot of time. Like, so in my relationship, I'm able to come back. Like, Leland is a source of, like, secrecy. So I'm able to come back and vent about friends or, like, just... Or, like, TV. Like, oh, my God, they're doing this on Love Island. So... But if you don't have the time to watch your TV shows, you don't have the time to, like, read. You don't have the time to have, like... Oh, like, my friend's going through this drama.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, like, the things... And then I don't know who wants to talk about the news on a date. That's sad.
Right.
So like you're losing the things that you talk about because the outside of yourselves, I guess you have comedy, which is your job, your day job, and then the kid. Like I'm presuming you don't have that like nights out with the lads as much or
no.
Meeting up with friends for coffee.
But I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
Like I mean
but
like...
those were sources of conversations for dates. Do you know what I mean? Like, you'll never guess what Bob did the other night. God.
Yeah, that's true. But comedy is our social lives. I mean, I don't know about you, but like for me, my social life is like, it's sort of wrapped up in comedy.
Yeah.
Like I see people that I know.
Yeah.
Most of my friends are comics. I don't see them like I don't get to talk to them for a long time, but that's fine for me. You know, I see, like, I'm like, oh yeah, hey, it's been a while. Then it's good. But, yeah, so that part of it, I don't care about as much. And having, you know, conversation fodder for dates is not the most important thing, I guess. I think you should have a kid, is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. Well, yeah, and exactly. Like, I know what you mean. Like, it's not like you should not have a kid just so, but I could just imagine that when you're both exhausted and not able to, because I sometimes, even with, like, in my relationship, I'm like, okay, like when we were in holidays, so I was like, okay, you need to think of something to talk about. And we don't even have a kid. But then Leland just pulled out, like, a questionnaire thing from online. So you could do that. It's
a
fun.
A questionnaire from online. Yeah, sure.
There's, like, these relationship questionnaires, or there's, like, Athir Yacoub, who I've mentioned a lot on the podcast lately, but her and her boyfriend they're together a while, but they're doing this book called 8 Dates. And then you go on these 8 dates. So I think there's things, too, that, like, outside help can help to keep the flame going.
Keep the flame alive.
Yeah,
yeah, of course. Yeah, we're not at that point yet, but, yeah, good to know.
Yeah. I mean, you can be at that point even without a kid. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I mean, we were at questionnaire on holidays.
Oh, gotcha. So, right. I guess that would just get worse as you have a kid.
You're like, you two don't have a kid. But I mean, it's just because, like, Leland's kind of quiet anyway. Like, he's good crack, but, you know, after, like fun. But after, like, 7 days of holidays, like, I'm very, like, the chatty, sociable one. So at some point, I'm like, you need to. And then he's just like, I don't really have anything to talk about. So then we're talking about how this friend, Irish couple I know, they are Irish and American, but they do, like, these, when they do these, like, relationship questionnaires. And it's fun because you'll ask questions that you wouldn't have never thought of asking before. So it just gets you on, like, a fun, deeper
level.
I'm like, maybe we should have a kid so we have something to talk about.
is that on the table?
Yeah, potentially. But in our relationship, I'm the breadwinner. Doesn't mean I'm spoiling Leland at all. It just means I'm not expecting him to pay for everything. But there's some cat hair. But he thinks that my career is the one that will, and at the moment it is the more successful career, but you never know what could happen. So what if it's not, touch wood? So if it keeps going forward on the trajectory it's going, I am the busier one, and I'm the one that's making money from comedy. So it's hard to know, because if I had a kid, like, I need a plan to have a kid as a woman, you know. I'm turning 33.
Yeah.
And how old was your wife?
She was 39 when.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. That's good to know.
Plenty of time.
Yeah. Yeah, because I wouldn't want it to happen in, like, the way I am now on my comedy. It's like I talked to you before. So I was talking to Guts and I was like, oh, you know, I got the JFL, I got the credit, which is, like, a big credit amongst the comedy community. I know for the listeners, they're like, sorry, what?
No, it's big.
Yeah, but it's still, like, I'm still grinding and trying to, like, and then I'm on the road, and it can be a bit, like, sexist on the road. Like, you know, I have to, like, really, like, be like, no, I do have the emails. No, you should do this ticket price. Where they're like, so it's, like, annoying because I have I have more followers than people they're giving a weekend to. I have the credit. I have the album as proof of concept, and I have the emails. And they're like, well, we don't really know. Like, I'm like, you don't want to make money at your fucking, you know? So, like, I remember when one of them were like, we have to try out as a one-nighter before. And I was like, that's fine. And we said we do $20 tickets. And I don't know where the communication got lost. And I had the most emails for this city, and it basically nearly sold out. It was two off selling out.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And they did the tickets for half the price that I said. So I made no money. And then they took out of my money to pay the feature and the host, which I wasn't bringing a feature or host. And a club should never do that.
Oh, shit.
So I, after hotel and flight and paying my booker, no money.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it was like a big thing of like, okay, I need a double check. And I said to the booker too, and she's the best, but we were like, oh my God, I don't even know how this got lost in communication. But also, fuck these places if they're not gonna, it's not worth it. And other places I've made good money. But it was like, I've done all the things. I got the followers. I got the emails. I got the credit. And it's still, so I can't even imagine if I were like trying to live that life and be pregnant.
Yeah.
That would be what I would like. And if you have something that you love so much that's more important for the world, would you chase your dream? Would you be like, what am I doing?
Yeah. You would find a way to make it work.
I don't know. Yeah. I think I need another few years at this. Yeah. I need the energy to do this because you know, I can't even imagine having the hormones of a baby. And then I would probably kill. I would might, kill a male better. Booker.
Oh, you mean kill a... Right.
No. Like I don't mean murder on stage. I mean, I would murder the male booker if they made a mistake.
What if you find out that you're better at comedy when you're pregnant? Then you have to keep getting pregnant.
I don't think killing. I would be. I don't know. I think like...
No,
I think you get better all the time. I think you'd be better when you're pregnant, and then you'd be better when you have a baby because they're levels of like emotional growth. I feel like when you go to therapy, you get better at comedy. Mm. When you go through something, when you get over your trauma, when you get into a relationship, you get better. When you go through a breakup, you get better because I feel like you're always growing and learning from these experiences.
Yeah. Well, also you're having like real emotions.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but like in the years leading up to having a child, I didn't have any real emotions in my adult life. I was just like, oh yeah, thanks for sending that email. You know, like, hey, good to see you. Yeah. You know, like, what?
Yeah, that's so true. Like, I think for me, I've been kind of lucky in a way that, like, so I don't speak to my mother. This is crazy to say that I'm lucky for this, but I don't speak to her. I cut her out. She's like undiagnosed and untreated, like serious mental health issues, or she could be possessed.
Jury's out.
The jury's out. Uh-huh. We don't know what it is, but you know, I couldn't. It was like very bad for my mental health. It was a very rocky childhood. And then I dated a lot of abusive guys because I just dated what I knew. So the listeners know this, but I will say then going to therapy made me much better at comedy because I was able to understand like what I went through, articulate it, and not be like automatically upset when you're talking about it. And then not repeat it in relationships, and then, you know, was able to be with Leland, who's like just the easiest. I mean, even if you tried to fight with him, he would just shut down. He's not even gonna.
He's a nice boy.
Yeah, he's not. He's just like he's just easy.
Yeah.
So all of that made my comedy better, I believe, because I was able to like access trauma, but not be re-traumatized, but articulate it.
Because you were probably avoiding talking about certain things because you knew subliminally it would make you upset.
You just start crying, yeah. You're like, hi, everybody. So I don't speak to my mom. Enjoy this comedy show.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's probably true.
Yeah, so I think like you need to have like real life things. Yeah, if it's like having a kid, like some sort of struggle.
Yeah.
Because people struggle and they're going to relate. Even if they're like, I don't speak to my mother, they're going to relate to the feelings I'm talking about.
Yes. I find that, it's not just that I talk about dad stuff and dads are like, you know, it's like it has brought up things that I had forgotten about from when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And people relate to that.
Exactly. Yeah. Or even just people, it might be women relating who are mothers or women relating who have fathers. Mm. They're relating from Pearl's perspective.
I think that's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, oh, yeah. It's nice to see like, you know, there's things that me and my sisters might be like, oh, my dad does this and it just makes sense. But then hearing you on stage saying stuff and it's like, you remember then, oh, this is like a person who has their own life. It's not all about you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so people in the audience probably feel that.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about real stuff, I think no matter what, people are like, yeah.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know to what extent this is true now, but like when Pearl was a baby, it made me realize like everyone is a baby.
You know,
like
everybody was a baby.
Everybody was a baby. Like even the worst person that you know at one time was an innocent baby.
Yeah.
And then,
And the worst people as well aren't like the worst people that aren't, they don't get born bad. They become, if it's either they're not bad and they just have serious mental health issues and they're not really in control and they're not getting the help that they need. But also that's not your problem to deal with. But, you know, that's something happened in their life or if it's, you know, or if they are just like bad, if they're like rude or like selfish or whatever, that is usually something to do with their upbringing.
Yeah, of course. Or their environment or something that wasn't them. Yeah, I don't really believe in free will or anything like that. I think like everything is like, I mean, you can still blame people for stuff and they still have responsibility for them, but like you didn't choose your parents.
Yeah.
You didn't choose their parents.
Yeah.
You didn't choose what you were exposed to. And anyway, sorry, this has gotten philosophical, but
no, it's a really good point.
But having a kid sort of slams that in your face because you're like, you see a baby and you're like, how could this baby ever do anything bad ever? And then you realize everyone was like that at some point. So I guess my point is like, it like little realizations like that, I think, do help your comedy.
No, absolutely. And the little steps along the way, like, I think for me, like, people are like, oh, but it's amazing that you're like, you know, this happy-go-lucky person when I do talk about what, like, my childhood was like. But I'm like, yeah, but on one side, I had, like, my mother's mother was always like, if my mother did anything, well, she was there most of the time. So when she would do, like, her wild, illogical stuff, my grandmother would pull me aside and be like, don't worry, she's crazy.
Oh, that's funny.
Or my dad would be like, just like learn how not to behave, you know, that's not normal. Wow. That's not like, it's not you, it's nothing to do with you.
Oh, wow.
So like when I would talk to him or spend time, so I had like two sources who were like balancing it out, where I wasn't being like, oh, this is what you do in life, or this is how you, or this is me, or do you know what I mean? Like, so at least when I was, I there's people who grew up in those environments who don't have that, and then they become that because that's their,
they think that's normal.
They think like all these like paranoias or tantrums or aggressions is normal. But they don't have that outside person going, no, that's not the real world.
But so you still talk to your dad?
He's like one of my, he's like the best. I love him, he's great. And like, I don't think he's not gonna listen to this, but I don't think he's perfect. I think like he could have done some things differently, but I think that's important to recognize that he's not, I never like held anything against him, because it was like one of those things where he didn't know how to handle my mother, so he couldn't stay. And like in an ideal world, wouldn't I have loved if he was able to, like, I don't know, put her in a mental home or something. Do you know what I mean? But I think, like, as well, for like women in general, we don't want men putting us in mental homes. But like, generally, what was he going to do as a young man? He couldn't, if she's not going to get the help she needs, and he was, you know, at a point where he was the victim in a lot of it. So we still had a relationship. I would see him every second weekend. But I stayed for 18 years.
Wow.
And then I cut right when I was 18.
Wow.
But so like, he's like 99% perfect. But of course, there's like that 1% where it's like, oh, you know, in an ideal world, things would be different, but it's out of his control.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything he could have.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course. It's funny how this is like the most that we've talked. So this is like, I'm learning stuff about you. I'm going to do everyone's podcast now just to like talk to them.
This, you're like, funny. Oh, okay.
I just said that I don't have a social life outside of comedy.
Yeah, this is how you,
this is how I do it.
Bond with friends. Yeah. I do find podcasts are great for comedians because we talk about deep stuff, but we also get to have chats with our friends and stuff. Like sometimes I always have to remember, don't just keep asking my friends to do podcasts either. Like, so like, I'll always ask people that I like and I think are interesting, or like that I'll have good convos with. And then as a podcast host, I don't ever ask people who are like big people. It would be good. I never think of that, which is probably like bad for, but the podcast is doing well. So it's what you guys.
Oh, yeah. How many people are going to watch this?
I've been really bad on the video. So I'm going to start posting the videos again and just be a month behind, or because I haven't posted a video in a month on YouTube, and then so that they'll go more towards the Patreon.
Yeah.
But listenership is like, okay, well, I'll tell you afterwards what the listenership is.
Yeah, sorry.
Just in case they think it's like less or worse, you guys don't need to know. But I'll tell you afterwards. It's good. It's good. It's not too bad.
Nice. That's great.
But plug everything before we go.
Oh, sure. thank you for having me, by the way.
Oh my God, thanks for
great. The album. Oh, so wait, let me start. The special is called Top Gus, and it's on YouTube. Join the almost 100,000 people that have watched it. You could be number 100,000.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool if you were the person? And the album is coming out next Friday, also called Top Gus. And you can like pre-save it. There's like a pre-save link, which you know, because it's the same as yours, except it says Top Gus on it. And will you put that link in there somewhere?
Absolutely. Yeah, you send me all the links. I'll put it in.
Yeah, cool. Other than that, just look me up on Google or Instagram. Follow me. Watch my stuff. That's it.
Great. And thank you guys so much. As usual, sign up to Patreon /The Shift Podcast. I'll be in Ireland, Cork and Dublin. So the link will be in the bio. Please get those tickets. And I think by the time this comes out, I'll be going over to, because this will come out next Thursday. So I'll be going over to Arizona and San Diego. So get the tickets for that as well. And rate and review. Okay. Love yous. Bye. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.